Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
If the church is going to be faithful to its biblical mission, does it dare to be fashioned by its culture? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that we who have been entrusted with your holy word may be faithful in its proclamation. Grant, O God, that we may remind each other that we are sinners and stand in need of the grace of God. But also help us today, O God, to come forth with that gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered and died for our sins, and through faith in him, we can be yours forever. Lord, we pray for those who may be seeking a church, wondering what this matter of Christianity is all about. Your Holy Spirit will guide and direct them to such a place as they will hear of your love in the Savior's name. Amen.
Dearest Jesus, draw long near me. Let thy spirit dwell with mine. Open now my ear to hear me. Take my heart and seal it thine.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, beginning with verse 1. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not mean that I am innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, hear my faith.
Friends in Christ, our grandson recently accepted a job in Chicago. As a concerned grandpa, I asked him if he knew where in that big city he would be worshiping, what church he would be attending. He replied, "Yes, I know where I plan to worship, and it is my intention to join the congregation as soon as possible." He went on to say that during his 4 years at the University of Iowa, he attended a wonderful church that blessed him a great deal, and he never joined. It was a part of being in the student world, I guess. But now he said, I've got to have it different. I always considered myself sort of an outsider at the church in Iowa City. Now that I'm employed and I have a gainful income, it is important that I become a member of that church and assume my responsibilities as a part of the congregation. I love to hear him say that. In other words, he was saying, I need to be a part of the family of God in that particular unit. When I asked what criteria he had used in selecting this congregation, he answered, "The first criterion is faithfulness to the message of God's holy word. I have listened to the pastor of this church preach," he said, "and I appreciate his faithfulness to that word." When he mentioned the pastor's name, I said to him, "But Tim, this is not the denomination in which you were raised." And he smiled and said, "I know it. And there will be some doctrinal differences, I'm sure. I might not agree with all of them. But I can accept this simply to hear faithfully each Sunday the law and the gospel, the basics of the faith. I need to hear the absolutes of God's word because, you see, I still believe there are rights and wrongs. And I need to hear the message of the cross and the message of the resurrection." I thought, what would his great-grandparents say if they heard him speak? Their own flesh and blood was joining a congregation that was not affiliated with the denomination where our family has worshipped for many years. Perhaps if we could go back in the genealogy, it would go way back to the Reformation. And now, for the first time, a departure? Well, I guess we have to say that we have come to that time where tradition is not as important as once it was. The far more important question for many of these people is this: what is the congregation's message, and what is its mission? Will the church feed me? But besides that, will the church also challenge me to share my faith both in the word and deed when I minister to other people? In other words, I just don't want to be a parasite coming in and being well-fed myself, and then going out and doing nothing about it for the rest of the week. Where will I be fed, and where will I be challenged? Will the church do that for me? If so, that's the church I want to belong to. I have no question in my mind that if this grandson's work should take him to other communities during his life, that he will still seek out the congregation where he feels his soul is nourished and where he is challenged to work. I imagine you could say it's kind of shocking, isn't it? Isn't it shocking to see people moving from one church to another, from one denomination to another? And I say, yeah, it really is. But maybe it's healthy, don't you think? Maybe it's healthy that belonging to a congregation where you hear God's word preached is more important than simply following a tradition just for the sake of doing what we have done in the past. I myself will always be partial, but not limited, to the denomination in which I spent my entire life. This church has introduced me to my Savior, and it has fed me with the bread of life all of my days. But if my children and their children must go elsewhere for that same blessing, then I guess all I can say is, so be it. Now, on the basis of this statement, let's turn to St. Paul, for he is saying basically that same thing. He is describing what the congregation at Corinth or any other place can expect of him as a preacher of the gospel. Here it is. Men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little that I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. This, my friend, must be the conviction and the spirit of all of those who preach and teach God's holy word. Notice Paul says, I have been entrusted with the secret things of God. What are these secret things? I have been entrusted with that word that simply tells me that God has loved me so much that he has come into this world in the person of Christ. And through his vicarious suffering and death and resurrection, he has atoned for my sin. I can't understand that. I can't give it to you logically. Oh, I can in theological terms, of course. But I must expound that word that in faith, the individual who hears may lay hold of what God has to say. So if you're one of those whose attention has been caught by the church since 9/11, maybe you're asking, what am I looking for in a church? And so I think we can go back in the scriptures again and build on what Paul has said here, that we have to be faithful as servants to what is found in the Word of God. Maybe these are some of the things that you really need to look for. You know, if you're going to join a particular country club, you may look around and see which one would be the best for you. If you're going to join a particular service club, where do you feel you can best be served and where can you serve best? Well, if that be true in some of these more mundane things of life, is it not also very important when we come to the church that deals with our eternal welfare and the Word of God? First, would it not be right to say that I must go to a church that has a biblical message? That biblical message that, for example, will tell me who I am. The biblical message that will tell me unashamedly that I am a sinner, that I was born with a sinful nature, that it is not humanistic in its message, that it does not begin to say to us that you were born perfectly all right and that society just happened to come in upon you and made you a sinner. You're not going to go to a church that wants to give you 10 easy rules every week as to how you can be reformed. You want to go to a church where it reaches into your soul and convicts you that you have to be transformed, changed, turned around, converted, perhaps. That's one place that we have to go. We have to ask ourselves, is that the message that I'm hearing wherever there is preaching and teaching in that church? It's a biblical message, but a message that does not leave me with a guilt complex, but a message that tells me that there is help, that there is salvation, that there is a way that I can get rid of these sins, no matter what they may be. Perhaps it has been a terrible past, and you're saying I have to have some release. Make sure you find a church that tells you that there is the forgiveness of all of your sins, and that comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Make sure that it tells you that your salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not of your works, lest you should boast. You need a church that has a biblical message that can point you to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the one who has inspired the Bible and the one who is anxious to speak through the Bible to be your teacher, your guide, your encourager, your strength in facing some of the big decisions of life. You and I know good and well that living is not always easy, and life confronts us with many, many hard decisions. So I need someone to help me. For example, if you and I are human beings in the normal sense of this word, we might have a fantastic marriage. I have had that. But I also know that there have been rough times. There have been times when maybe I was not the husband that I should have been. And there were times, for example, when we could have an argument. There were problems. Raising children. How did you do this in the right sense of the word? How good it is to have a book right within our home that had the answers for the problems that were confronting us. Now, if we were Christians, we were recipients of that message. And that message could tell us how that marriage could be fixed, that I didn't have to continue to live in that same old state that probably at times was hard, but that God could make it living and vital and new. I tell you, if you're a young married couple, but maybe we ought to go on to even older married couples, you need a church that can help you enrich your union with one another. You need a church who can give you the answers and strength to stand when others consider you a bit abnormal because of your Christian conviction. I think of that so often as we find ourselves in the streams of society, whether it be in the business world or the social world or wherever it is, and we simply cannot go along with everything that is being said or done there. Don't I need a church that can say, look, that which these people are doing is not right. It may be dishonest in the business world. It may be unethical. It may be unjust. That which the society of which I am a part is doing is immoral, unethical. Don't I need a church that can take me back to the scriptures and show me what God's word has to say? Okay. There's an unwanted pregnancy. You like to put it that way. In other words, you are not ready for another child in your family. Or maybe it's a place where there has been no marriage, and suddenly because of some immoral act, you're found to be with child. You need a church that can say to you, no, abortion is not the answer for that. Now, culture may try to fashion you that way, but The Word of God does not. So where do I go for my answers? And they're found in the book, the Bible. But you say, it's such a large book, and I don't know where to go. That's right. That's why you need a church to which you can go rap on the pastor's door or rap on the door of some great person in that church and say, look, I need help. This is my problem. And we have four children, and we can hardly afford to have a fifth one. What is the answer? These are the questions that are rattling around in the homes of many of people who are Christian. They don't know what to do, and this culture of ours that's trying to fashion us is saying, well, do this or do that. No, you need a church that lovingly and kindly helps you, that gives you a sense of values. I need a church that can forever help me in the treatment of other human beings. How do I deal with a poor person? How do I deal with the lonely? How do I deal with those who are being treated unjustly? I need a church that helps me share the message of Jesus Christ with a world that does not know him. How can it help me be a better witness? How can they teach me to be an evangelist? How can they help me to be that witness that our Lord told me to be? I need a congregation that will provide me with brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus who will become my closest and dearest friends. I've talked about them for a long time. I love to confess on Sunday morning in the church where I go, and I believe in the communion of saints. I have to have friends from every walk of life. That's the way it is. But how good it is to know that there are those special few who share the same conviction that you and I share. That's a church that I need to come to. I need a church where I can get some help in the raising of my children. In my home, I must teach them the basics, to be sure. But then I must depart to a church where there's a good Sunday school, where there are some faithful teachers who will assist in making the Christian message clear, not only to me, but to my sons and my daughters. I need a place where I can go, where I can retreat on a Sunday morning or perhaps sometime during the week, only to be sent out to be a better witness for the cause of Christ and his church. I need a pastor who loves me. I need a pastor who has a sense of humor. I need a pastor who knows the Word of God and is convinced that it is true. I need a pastor, however, who can say whenever it is necessary, you may not like what I'm going to say, but it's a very small thing that I am judged by you or by any human court. It is the Lord who judges, and this is what God's Word is saying. A congregation that is fashioned after the culture in which it finds itself is not adequate for you. Culture changes and seeks to change everything and everybody within its reach. Maybe some of these changes need to be, but others of them do not. And here is one. God's Word does not change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the kind of a church you need. There are many great churches, some are small and some are large, who have biblical messages. Go there. This is where you belong if you want to be one of God's great men or women in his kingdom. Go there if you're looking for a church. Amen.
Voice like thine can be so afford.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the churches that are scattered around our land, where that message is being preached and people are coming to faith in you. Lord, we pray that that may be true in the church where our people are worshiping. God, we thank you for faithful pastors, those who give of their time and their life to go that extra mile to reach into the hearts of those who are in need. We pray that you will raise up more young men and women to find this task of telling the story of Christ. We pray for our theological seminaries, for our professors who are there, the responsibilities that they have in training these young people to go out into a world that often does not have too much to offer them financially, but can be very critical. Be with them, Lord. Strengthen and guide them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. We pray that if our ministry meets your spiritual needs, you will consider a contribution to help pay for the radio time. Many shut-ins depend on this program for their Sunday worship. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Reverend Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. You can also listen to this week's service anytime on the internet. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 42 years.